We will read the last four verses of this chapter, and then we'll finish this book. It's been a great book for me. I've enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but it's so weird. I would not think this, but I feel incredibly apathetic during the holidays. I've kind of done nothing and just kind of laid around. And if it's been good, Got to spend time with my son and daughter-in-law and Cliff. I haven't got to see Cliff yet. He'll be here soon. Hopefully no later than January the 7th. So you pray for Emily. But I just feel apathetic. If you feel apathetic, let's just ask the Lord to help us. Maybe this morning will stir our hearts. Rescuing others to the glory of God. That's the title of the message. Let's just begin at verse 20 to help us with a little bit of the flow. We're going to focus on verses 22 to 25. I'll do a little review of this chapter. He says, "But ye, beloved," speaking to believers, this book's written to believers, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22. "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Let's just quickly review some of the thoughts, right? Look at verse 4, if you will. Verse 4 of Jude, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." And so I've got a summary. What do I got? 1, 3, 4, 6, 7. 7's a good number. And so I've got 7 items that I just want to talk about. Now remember, this book is written to believers. So I'll steal my thunder. Look if you will. So I don't want you to get discouraged too early. Look at verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." And so when I review these 7, these 7 are applicable to Christians. There are 7 issues that we Christians don't fully grasp the way we need to grasp. And if you're not careful, you can become discouraged. But the only one that can keep us from falling, to keep us from doing these things, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him, he's the one that'll give us victory over these. But these are issues. And what I would tell you is, remember the title, Rescuing Others to the Glory of God? These are representative of 7 things. 7 things that keep us from doing the true work of God, and that's rescuing others. That's what the word saved means. I think we just forget. The word saved, we've made it so spiritual in terms of like we don't know what it is. It just means to go rescue people. Christ came to save, to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from eternal damnation, so that he could give us eternal life. And so what keeps us from the great work of rescuing, right? We see it all the time. It's so popular. You see it with all of these shows, right? There's fire shows that are rescuing, police shows that are rescuing, dog shows that are rescuing. It's all about rescuing, right? It's to give meaning to life. There is great meaning to life when you rescue people, when you help people, and the world knows that. But see, we've been given the greatest mandate, the greatest command in all the universe. Go rescue God's creation. Go rescue people that God made, souls. And yet we forget. Yet we can just get distracted and just even, you know, these 5-6 days, and I get lazy and I get ready. Let's get back to work. Let's do the work of God. And so here's the things that it talks about here. He says, "Men crept in unawares," verse 4, "I'm denying the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, again, what denying the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not like Peter. And that's one way to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, "Do you know Jesus?" "No, I don't know this man. I have nothing to do with him." Right? But denying the Lord Jesus Christ is with your lips. Silence is denial. Understand, people would ask me, they would say, "You know, who are you voting for?" And no matter what your position is, I would be embarrassed to tell anybody I'm voting for either candidate. You understand that? The candidates were both so bad. So nobody knows who I voted for. in this church that I know of. You can have your guesses. But I'll tell you this. See, I'm not worried about being embarrassed about a political candidate. But I will tell you this. If I don't speak up and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm effectively denying him. See, the Bible says that if we confess him, he will confess those that confess him to his Father. If we deny him, he will deny you before his Father. It's a lifetime. So those crept in unawares go, you know, you don't have to be so aggressive. They're filthy dreamers. All they're dreaming about are things that won't make a difference. Many of it's just not right. Filthy dreamers. They're just dreaming about things they ought not to. They despise authority. We talked about this. You know, they speak evil of dignities. They just speak evil. They're so ignorant. They don't know what you're talking about. And it's a great temptation because this world's a mess. But these men crept in. These things will keep us, because you all know this, despising authority. I know people that know the news and the political dynamics and the political situations way more than they do the Word of God. All it does is distract you from being focused on the work of God. And so they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They're filthy dreamers. They despise authority. And remember, we talked about Cain, that God must accept things their way. You know, this is the way I do it. And God's just going to have to deal with it. Nobody, no Christian or nobody that goes to church would actually say it that way. But we live that way. We live that way that says, you know, I don't have to do it your way. You don't have to do it my way. We need to do it God's way. God must accept things our way. Focused on money, talking about Balaam in verse 11, right? Remember, all of these things will keep us from focusing on the work of rescuing the perishing. And so, focused on money. That's what the issue with Balaam was. Not convinced of judgment. Now, this is to the lost as well. But for us Christians, there is going to be a time we will answer for every single word, every thought, every deed, whether good or bad. Again, that's shocking. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. You go read it. We will not be punished for our sins. I want to be clear. If you have put your faith and trust in Christ, if you've truly committed, surrendered, you've truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've turned from your sin and you've believed on him, you will never receive any punishment for your sins. But you will answer for every single thing you've done, whether good or bad. It will impact you for eternity. The Bible says that again this morning, that what we do will reflect to the glory of God now and forever. We've discounted that way too much. It's not all going to be the same. Your eternity will be impacted by your faithfulness or lack of faithfulness to the Lord today. We discount that. I mean, I hear it all the time. Well, all that matters is that we're going to heaven. And when people say that, I go, wow, God could have saved me a lot of reading. It just says, turn to the book of all that matters. That we believe on. There's a whole lot that matters. I didn't talk about for eternal life, but the way we live, the way we walk, the way we speak, will reflect and honor the Lord Jesus Christ or do the opposite. That word reproach this morning, Ron. Reproach. It's being a representative. How do we represent God? What does the situation represent for God? Does it make him look good? Or does it make him look bad? So we're not convinced of judgment. And that's why we're apathetic. That's why we go, you know, Steve, you take this, it's a little bit too serious. I don't take it serious enough. To be clear, if I can just really grasp things, then it doesn't mean I'm going to be all you know, just tight and wound up, you know, just uptight. No, I'm gonna have joy. The Bible says that. Just look, there's so many things I want to tell you. Look at this. Look at this at the end of verse 24, that he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm telling you, with exceeding joy. When we follow the ways of God, we're involved in the rescuing of people, we will have exceeding joy. He's the one that keeps us faultless. He's the one that will do all these things, and we will have exceeding joy. And then the last thing I just wanted to highlight, that these men crept in unawares, live for what makes them feel good, right? The Bible uses the word sensual. It's dealing with all the senses, just living for what makes me feel good. You see, these seven things are just somewhat representative. I've over-summarized them as we go into this, but it's these seven things. Oh, Christian, remember I told you this. Look again at verse 24. Now, to him that is able to keep you from falling. You could look at this list, and I'll tell you this, if every single person is being honest, you're struggling with some of these things on this list. You're struggling with the distractions from the kingdom and from the glory of God and what matters. I don't think there's one person that will escape these seven things here that we would not struggle with. And when we struggle with these, it'll keep us from doing the work of God. Then quickly, just look at verses 20 and 21. He then says, here's the solution. He says, but you, beloved, being building up yourselves, encouraging yourselves on your most holy faith. Why do we believe what we believe? Praying in the Holy Ghost. We talked about prayer this morning. We must learn to pray. We must learn to pray for just seeking the face of God, not necessarily getting what we want. We need the Lord. But he says, verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I am getting a new list, and I am rememorizing Scripture. What I am doing, and I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it. I am beginning to rehearse Bible verses about the love of God. I know one of the easy ones, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I'm telling you, I want to keep myself in the love of God. And what he says is, what I need to do is I need to abide in his words. That's what it says in John 15. I want to keep myself in the love of God. I want to abide in his words. I'm just going to start memorizing Scripture. You've got a favorite Bible verse that highlights love, you let me know about it. It's going on my list, and I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to let it just soak my mind, so that my mind is wholly on the things of God. You see, I'm not going to wait till I feel like it. I'm not worried that I feel apathetic. I feel lazy this morning. I do. But I want God's word to massage my heart. Now we come to the passage that I want to say here. Look at verse 22. It really says this, ministering to people. How do we minister people? It's have compassion and make a difference. Look at verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. I do love this. It's just some. We worry that we're not having compassion on everybody. But the question is, are you having compassion on anybody? I love compassion. We're going to see it in the Scriptures. I think the Scriptures speak of compassion. I looked it up and just tried to even examine the etymology of the word. And the way Scripture uses compassion. So, Jeff, you've made me very sensitive about that, right? When you told me that surrender and commitment and belief aren't the same. But compassion in the Bible, Jeff. Compassion in the Bible always leads to action. It's different than pity. So, compassion leads to action. Have compassion on some, making a difference. Here's the question I have. Are you having compassion on anybody? Anybody? Are you making a difference in anybody's life? Are you involved in anybody's life? Are you concerned about anybody's life? You see, what I would tell you, if we're not, it's because one of those seven things, and maybe other things, have distracted us from what matters. Because the work of God, he saved us to serve. He saved us to reach the world. He established churches so that the world might know that Jesus came, who he is, and what he's done. Oh, all the world's heard of the name Jesus. But they don't know who he is. You pray for me. I have a dinner with my daughter's boyfriend this Tuesday. And then I'm going to have a Bible study with him every Thursday night. He doesn't know that yet, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So you pray for me. I want to have the love of Christ. I want to have the love of Christ because you know what? I love this. I'll tell you this. I wish? I wish God said, if you dislocate shoulders, people will get saved. I'm telling you this. This guy wouldn't know what's coming Tuesday night, but right in the middle of the restaurant, I don't care what they do, it'd be like, pop his shoulder out of place. And be like, yes. What I got to remember is, can I save anyone eternally? I can't. I love the Bible. It involves me in that work. It says having compassion on some, making a difference. And then it's actually going to use this terminology. It's others saved with fear. I tell you this, I can't save a soul. Only God can. But I can sure be involved in that process. And I can lead them to the edge. And that's what I want to do with this young man. I want to learn. I want to trust in the Lord. I don't want to be the guy that's trying to twist his arm. I want to be the guy that just has great confidence in the Word of God, and I watch God do the impossible. I've never reached one person that has a background of Hinduism in my life. I'm trusting this will be the first. And I'm going to learn a ton. And I've got some thoughts going in, but I'm going to trust the Lord that the Lord will guide, the Lord will lead, and that I will have and represent the love of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I want him to know Christ. I want others to know Christ. Have compassion on some, making a difference. Now, I want to show you, I've just picked some scriptures of Jesus. We're going to just primarily look at Matthew, then I'll look at one verse in Hebrews. This is Matthew chapter 9. Ron actually made reference to this morning. I want to show you this. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. What? He was already healing them, but there's a difference. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That leads him to pray this. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The issue's been the same for 2,000 years. The harvest is plenteous. Churches might have been full. The synagogues were full. The laborers were few. Here's the question. Will you have compassion on some? Will you have compassion on just a few? Will you have compassion and do something about it? Every time you're going to see compassion that I'll show you here, it led to Jesus doing something. The laborers are few. I will tell you, the laborers are few today. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Here's the challenge. Will we, by God's grace, be those laborers, be the people that have compassion, and trust the Lord to change people's lives? You get discouraged. People aren't here you hoped would be here. People cancel your Bible studies. People do this, that, and the other. You continue to strive and reach people for Christ, you will make a difference. Look at Matthew chapter 14. This is Jesus, and it was the feeding of next one's the feeding of 5,000. Matthew 14 says this, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, that they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. There he heals them. Look at Matthew 15. This is what's leading them to the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You see, Jesus healed people, he fed people, he taught people. He did something about people's needs. It is people need the Lord. There are people that are supposed to be here this morning that aren't. I'm going to love them. They need the Lord. You've got to understand, people that don't know the Lord, once a month they feel like the most faithful people in the universe. Do we care enough to do something about it? And then finally, I'll just show you these verses. Matthew chapter 20. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. These are two blind men, but they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. These guys wouldn't shut up. And Jesus stood still and called to them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. But Jesus had compassion on them, and he did something. He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. People crying out for help. I do love this. Now you understand my dilemma. Maram had a young lady reached out to her, and she said, help me. And we have to figure out how to help people, right? And we have to figure out how far we're willing to go. And I don't know all those things, right? But it's why I couldn't tell you, no, you needed to do something. I don't know what you needed to do. So I'm so glad that it's your dilemma, not mine. Because it's a difficult one. You have difficult circumstances? Just two words she said, help me, right? You tried to help her, but I'll tell you this, bathe it in prayer. You couldn't sleep unless you did something. You keep praying about it. You keep seeking God's will. You keep seeking what God wants you to do. He does want you to do something. I don't know what that is. So you're like, well, why would I ever call the pastor? Probably not good. I don't know what to tell you to do, but seek the Lord. Help me. When people cried out to Jesus, he helped them. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews, it might be Paul, but for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. He said, you guys had compassion on me and you the spoiling of your goods. You gave up your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. See, compassion, I'm not talking about that offering box back there. I'm talking about you spending money, you helping people, and nobody ever knowing. That's not a cry for you putting more money in the offering box. But you, and I need to look in the mirror. When's the last time I spent money, I gave money that I could have used to help others? Having compassion on some, making a difference. I want to tell you, that's the joy of the Lord. That's why we're here. The average Christian, I love the honesty. It's a great perspective. I almost want to steal it in Hebrews, Ron, where you said, well, what would Hebrews 11 said about Ron? Ron's faith led him to come to church every Sunday and Wednesday. I think it's bigger than that, Ron, but it is. It's a great challenge, isn't it? What does my faith individually, what would God write about me with my faith? What has it led me to do for his honor and his glory that would encourage others? It's an awesome challenge. See, we just say, well, I just won't be in Hebrews 11. Well, you should be. Why shouldn't you be in Hebrews 11? If we just obeyed God in simple faith, we should be. Have compassion on some, making a difference. Others, it says this, save them with fear. Look if with you will, verse 23. And others save with fear. I'm going to talk that word save in here in just a second. But this one is others save with fear. What do you think that means? I believe it's this. When you get involved with the work of others, this is not a work where we go, I'm better than you. You loser. You need to be doing this, right? That's not the spirit God would have us to have. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:12. As wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Look, every situation we go into, we must understand that it's the goodness of God that may have kept us from the situation they're in, but it's not the goodness of Steve. Look at 1 Timothy 4:16. I love this verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Why is it important to immerse yourself in truth? Why is it important to just immerse yourself in the ways of God so that you won't waste your life? The Bible uses the word save to rescue your life from waste. Josh was telling me about some guy that, how many of you have heard about this? I didn't hear about this. Some guy that taped a banana on a wall, $6.2 million. $6.2 million. So some crypto billionaire bought it, $6.2 million, and he ate the banana. How many heard he ate the banana? He ate the banana, right? I've got one taped on my wall, took a picture, put it on. No, I didn't. You know what that represents? It represents this billionaire that had nothing else to do, so bored in life, I'll spend $6.2 million on the dumbest thing under the sun. You know why? What else is there left for him in life? If all that life is money and what money can get you, he's realized this. It's not all that. Anyone being honest will tell you, I thought this would do it, and it doesn't. We need to fight that. None of us are ever going to be the rich and the famous, but many of us will get caught up into destruction by pursuing that, and we'll never get it, and we think, oh, you just don't understand. Immerse yourself in the truths of God. You'll save your life from waste. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 is about, right? That controversial verse, right? It says, the like figure, wherein to baptism doth also now save us. In the parentheses. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. It's this. The like figure wherein to baptism doth also now save us. I'm telling you, people, Church of Christ, they use that verse to say, hey, see, baptism saves us. That's what that verse says, right? You gotta love the parentheses. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. So what does it mean when it says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us? You know what will help save your life, rescue your life from waste? You uniting and joining with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself to that authority, serving the Lord in that church the rest of your life, or in one of the Lord's churches the rest of your life. That'll save your life from waste. Just the simple thing. So, Ron, I'll tell you this. It's good that you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just that simple faith will save your life from waste. Just that simple faith will help you understand you need to have better faith so that you might even be thought of to be put in the honorable mention. Not yet, my friend. Me neither. But why shouldn't we dream about that? Why shouldn't we expect to see the same things from God? Why shouldn't we expect God to use us in dramatic ways? It's because our faith and our sin are not what they should be. And he says, and others, save with fear. Make sure of this. When you go to rescue others, when you go to have compassion on others, that you don't do it with arrogance. I'm terrified for Tuesday night's dinner for one reason. I love my daughter. And I want to be very delicate. And I want to be as aggressive as possible. I want to honor Christ above all else. But I want my daughter to know that I love her. I'm going into this situation. I have no clue, but I want to tell you this. I think my heart is where it needs to be with that situation. You keep praying for me. I want to have compassion on some. I want to make a difference. And I'll tell you, I want to save them with fear. I'm a little terrified. I'm just shut up, Steve. Just shut up. I save them with fear. And he says this, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. What fire might that be? I think it's the eternal fires of damnation. I don't think it could be any other thing. I want to tell you, this is the greatest television show ever to be. It's this, you know, Rescue 911. Don't they have to call them that? Fire Rescue. I don't know all the things, but it's like this. We're enamored with fire. We're enamored with people getting rescued from fire. There's like a ton of shows like that, right? Aren't there? Like, you know, I don't know what all they are, but I see them advertised. And it's this. You and I get to be involved in rescuing people from eternal fire. It doesn't matter whether they know about it. We get to do that, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:22. I love this verse. It says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some, that I might rescue people from the eternal fires of damnation. And I love this, Romans 11:14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. This is Paul writing the book of Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said that if by any means I may provoke them to do what I do and might save some of them. He's saying this, all within the context of holiness, I will do anything that is godly and holy and righteous in order to rescue people from their just damnation. You see, I look in a mirror. You guys sometimes put me on a pedestal, and it's incorrect. I'm as apathetic. I'm as indifferent. I'm as uncaring as the worst Christian you'd ever meet. I'm preaching this message to me and reminding me of this message. That my life needs to be about the honor and glory of God. And what God's going to finalize this is he's saying this. He's saying, you get involved in the rescue of compassion. You get involved in the ministry of compassion. You get involved in rescuing souls. You get involved in pulling people out of the fire. You get involved in that, and you will. You'll honor me. And you will have exceeding joy. I want exceeding joy. But obviously, I've been deceived by the devil, and I follow his path way too often. I love comfort way too much. I love just ease way too much. I would just rather just kind of not worry about it and just live my own life. And, you know, I've done enough already. Those are all lies of the devil. So I tell you, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. And then this one is so shocking. I love this. Look at this, verse 22, 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I don't hate sin enough. I'm not worrying about my garment being spotted. I don't despise sin. This morning's Sunday school was just fantastic for me because I kind of left Sunday school for a little bit. I'm sorry about that. I left Sunday school for a little bit because I was challenged by your thought that said I need to pray about being broken. So I'm not in disagreement with that. You know that. I was about to say, we're going to add it to our Wednesday night list. You know, I don't know if it'd be wrong to add it to our Wednesday night list. But what I need to be broken over, Noah, I need to be broken over my sin. I need to be broken over my apathy. I need to be broken over the sin I don't even know about. I need to be crying to God that he'd reveal that to me so that I would become bothered by it and I would cry out to him. You know this? What I need to be focused on is just the holiness and the glory of God, and then the compassion will follow. The rescuing will follow. The issue, why I have to force myself to rescue, why I have to force myself to have compassion is because I'm not right with God. That's the truth. Because I'm not bothered. I don't hate the garment spotted by the flesh. I don't hate it. I don't despise it. I don't just say, what in the world? But it'll come if I honor the Lord. I'll finish with this. We do all this to him who is able, I mentioned this before, to keep us from falling. Look at verse 24. And to him that is able to keep you from falling. The Bible's so good. I preach this message and I can hear voices in your own head, in my own head, going, you don't understand, I've failed so often, I'm tired of it. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Now, him is able to keep you from falling. I want to tell you this. If you leave discouraged this morning, then you just need to lean on him that's able to keep you from falling. And him that is able to present us faultless with exceeding joy. Look at this. And to him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to remember this. Don't abuse it so you can take this wrong. God doesn't see you like you see you. He doesn't. You need to embrace the forgiveness of God, trust that God will use you, and you know this, he will present you faultless. He will present you holy. He's the one that can keep you from falling. He's the one that can help you overcome this sin that we talk about, right? And then he says this, who is the only wise God? Look, to the only wise God, our Savior, these are offerings. He says, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. We don't, I had this word, and I don't like the word. I was going to say we bestow glory and majesty and dominion and power. We don't bestow anything on the Lord. But what we do is we might be able to highlight it for the world. We might be able to demonstrate God's glory, majesty, dominion, and power. And so I ask you, I ask me, what in the last 5 days, how did I demonstrate the glory and majesty and dominion and power of God? I haven't done a good job. He's the only wise God. And so I take you to this, and I'll finish. Look at verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. When we have compassion on some, we will make a difference. When we save others with fear, God will allow us to pull them out of the fire. And we will bring glory and honor and majesty and power and dominion to Christ now and forever. The question is, do we care? I am rescuing others to the glory of God. I can rescue others, but not this way. I want to rescue others because I love God. I want to rescue others because I'm no longer deceived in thinking there's something better to do. I want to rescue others because it brings glory and majesty, dominion and power. It reflects that to God. That's why we live. If we ask why we live, it's to bring glory to God. Would you agree with that? His majesty, the King. His majesty. He's royal. His power. I want to be somebody that people go, God can use him. He can use anybody. I think that's the people God uses. I want to get an artist to draw Samson the way I think Samson was. He was sissy boy. That's what I believe. Then you put long hair on a sissy boy, and he looked even more sissy. And God said, Samson, do some bicep curls. It might help. I think God wants us men to be a little strong, but I think Samson was the biggest wimp you've ever seen. And God said, perfect. That's why they didn't know what gave him his great strength. If Samson was Arnold Schwarzenegger, they'd be like, take the weights away. He's on steroids. Samson, they're like, he must be on that weight loss drug. He's lost too much weight. God used Samson. And Samson didn't hate the garment that was spotted by the flesh, did he? See, I don't know how to preach this without being incorrect. Let's get over our sin. But in the process of getting over our sin, let's rescue the perishing. I didn't preach this morning that said, you have to wait to be perfect. You ought to strive to be perfect. We ought to hate the garment spotted by sin. We ought to hate it. But I want to tell you, get involved in the rescue of God's work. Get involved. And remember this. Why will we do it? Why should you go to church? Because it'll bring glory to God. Why should you give in that offering box? Because it'll bring glory to God. Why should you love your neighbor that's not so lovable? Because it'll bring glory to God. Why should I try to be all things and all men? I've told you, there's this guy I'm trying to reach. I can't even understand his text messages half the time. I'm like, I don't even know what he just said. And I'm trying to figure it out. You know why? He needs Christ. I beg you this morning. I preach it often. I wish I didn't preach it so much sometimes. Are we involved in the work of rescuing others? Let's ask God to help us, that we not be apathetic. We pull them out of the fire. And I promise you, you will have exceeding joy. Let's pray. Father, I do love